This is the Pacifica National Board Personnel Committee meeting of March 11th, 2008. I'm the chair pro tem, Jack Van Aken, and we're going to go ahead and see if anybody wants to volunteer to serve as secretary. Do I hear any volunteers? Going once, twice. Okay, we have no secretary, so I'll keep notes. I'm going to go ahead and call the roll. Fia Mongaza.
Here.
Nia Bediaco.
Present.
Jack Van Aken is here. Doc Bethune.
Present.
A.C. Bird.
Here.
Sarv Randhawa is absent. I note that also present is Dominga Estrada, our new HR director.
Hi.
Wonderful. Welcome.
And we're expecting our new executive director, Nicole Sawaya, to join us shortly. So we have an agenda that I've sent out and posted on KPFTX. It calls for approval of minutes, setting next meeting schedule, and then at about 9:15 Eastern time, the ED job description for 30 minutes, CFO job description for 30 minutes, and then at 10:15 Eastern time, to take up the CFO evaluation timeline for 15 minutes and adjourn at 10:30 Eastern time. I think that there's a real problem when these teleconferences drag on because the East Coast people are essentially disenfranchised if they're not able to stay up all hours of the night. So I would like to suggest that we set a time certain to adjourn at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. Does anybody have any objection or any feelings about that?
No moves.
Okay. And now if there's another issue with the agenda. We seem to have a series of crises over the GM search process that the LSBs are tasked to carry out. So I'm wondering if, rather than the CFO evaluation timeline, which is entirely dependent on the CFO job description being completed anyway, that perhaps at 10:15 or we could take up the GM search process instead, and see if we can find steps towards creating a more standardized process that doesn't get delayed and extended for months and sometimes years. Would anyone object to replacing that CFO evaluation timeline item with a GM search process?
Well, what is meant by that exactly?
Well, I think that there may be some sentiment that the national board would have to create a standardized process for the local station boards to create, conduct their search for a pool of candidates. The bylaws, as I think we're all familiar with, require that the local station board somehow generate a pool of candidates to present to the executive director. In some instances, the local station boards have been very tardy in completing that process, and it seems to be that it's getting politicized so that there are these tugs of war that essentially lead to delays and dysfunction, and then there are breaches of confidentiality. In some instances, the committees don't seem to have a good grasp of where they fit in the general scheme of the organizational structure. I think that's been the problem at Kay. We have many new members who don't quite understand what it means to be on a committee that reports to the local station board, for example. So I think we need to start to look at ways to bring this process under control so the stations don't drift on with interim general managers for extended periods of time. Now, I'm sensitive to the will of the body on this issue. Do we want to try to take that up today?
Will we have time to do that, you think, with all that we have on our plate?
Well, what I'm recommending is that we schedule it for 10:15, and then we see if we get there. We do have a lot on our plate, and we may not get to it. My feeling about the way these Pacifica meetings go is that you need to put the most critical items first on the agenda and not have any illusions that you're going to take care of some sort of less significant business in a reasonable period of time, because almost everything seems to become some sort of, you know, extended discussion. So that's why I put the ED job description first and the CFO job description second. These are also critical issues, is that we must complete a CFO evaluation this year, and then we also, I think, that we have a continuing crisis with the general manager searches now. That's my view. I wouldn't try to impose that on anyone. That's why I'm putting it before the committee.
I don't have any objection, Jack. So
neither do I.
Okay.
I don't
either.
Okay, fine.
Chair, this is Nia. May I be recognized,
yeah,
please?
Sure, Nia.
I just want us to move. I just want to add at 9:45 for the CFO job description. I think what I would like to suggest is that we get Lonnie on the phone at 9:45 when it's time to discuss that CFO job description. Nicole is coming on at 9:15 for the ED job description. So I think I think they both should be at the table.
I have an idea about that. I thought maybe we could try to complete that process with Nicole, and then schedule a meeting very soon with Lonnie to then get his input. And I was going to raise that as the next item of business, to schedule a next meeting of this committee, hopefully within 2 weeks, with Bonnie. Okay, who's trying to speak?
I'm sorry. This is Evelyn.
Evelyn, go ahead.
I was just going to say, will there be an opportunity for us to have discussion about these without either party on the line?
I think that certainly is something that we could create. We could create that opportunity.
Because I think that we need to be able to talk about some of what our issues may be, and then have that discussion also with Nicole and Lonnie.
Okay. Nia, go ahead.
Just for clarification, what I mean, they are co-equals according to the bylaws. So if at 9:15 Nicole is going to be here, I think it's only fair that Lonnie is here at 9:45.
Okay.
I'm not taking issue with him being available.
No.
An opportunity for us to have.
Oh, no.
This
is not directed towards you, Evelyn.
Being present.
No. I agree with you, but I was just going back to my earlier suggestion as to why I said that.
Yeah.
Just to make it clear. There's no issue with you.
Okay, let me ask a question that I hope will address the two factors that are being discussed. One is that if we're going to have a separate meeting at, I agree with Nia, but if we're going to have a separate meeting on this question, and I agree with Evelyn as well, that then it seems to me that the length of time that we would have from each of them, if we're going to have both tonight, it's just a short summary. And then we have a chance to discuss whatever those outstanding issues we might have. Instead of being there for a long period of time, maybe 10, 15 minutes each one, do a short summary of why they made the recommendations they made. I don't know if that would be...
I think that's fine. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we all agreed then that we should try to get Lonnie on at 9:45?
Try as hard as we can.
Okay. Does somebody know how to reach him at this time? The only number I have for him is his office number at the foundation. Is that the best way to get Lonnie? Or
I can go to my audit committee stuff and find his phone number.
Okay. Do you mind doing that, Nia?
No, I don't.
Okay,
just let me know when you'd like me to.
Go right ahead whenever you're ready, because we need to give him a little advance notice and find out if he's available.
I have my stuff on my computer, so we can continue.
He's probably, he may be in Houston.
He is in Houston.
He is.
Yeah. Or Dominga should have his cell phone, right, Dominga?
I do. I broke my ankle, so I'm not in Houston. I think.
Sorry.
They might be at dinner right now, but let me see if I can pull it.
I should be able to find it. I move that we accept the agenda as amended.
Second.
Okay, fine. Is there any objection to approving the amended agenda? Hearing none. Yes.
Do you want me to call him?
Yeah, could you please?
Okay, so I'm going to get off the line and call Lonnie, and I'll join you guys later.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
And ask him what to be on the phone at 9:15?
9:45. Yeah, you want him at 9:45 for the CFO job, right?
Okay, all right. I'll be back.
Thanks.
Sure.
Okay, now I've sent out... Did somebody just join us, or does that...
That's her going off, I think.
Yeah, that does sound like that. Okay. I think what I thought we could begin with would be the latest version, the version of the ED job description with Nicole's edits.
Chair?
Yes, Nia?
The next item is approval of minutes. I move that
I always do that. I always forget this stuff. I'm terrible with the first item on the agenda. Approval of minutes. Okay, I sent out draft minutes earlier. Does everybody have them?
Yes.
Okay. Would people like
have and read?
And they've read them. Has anybody not read the minutes or want some time to read them? Okay, hearing no comment, I'll assume they're ready to go for a vote. Are we ready to vote on approving the minutes?
So moved.
Yes.
Okay, is there any objection to approving the minutes? Okay, hearing none, they're approved. And now the next item would be setting a next meeting. Do we think that we're going to need to meet in about 2 weeks? Because I think we have an awful lot to do, and starting a meeting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time is probably not going to get us through all of this. I'm wondering, do we have any overlap on this committee with the Archives Committee?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. Okay. Well, that rules the 26th out. I'm wondering about Thursday the 27th.
The KPFTX calendar, there's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing there. So
that's the National Federation of Community Radio Broadcasters Conference weekend, which
that's what
a lot of people will be gone.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, let's see, about Monday the 24th.
There's nothing on KPFTX.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Is that the Monday? That's the Monday after Easter?
Yeah. Is that a problem?
I'll be traveling. Sorry.
Is Easter that late, Evelyn?
It's been March, third Sunday.
The 23rd.
Oh, it's March. That's right. Oh, good. Well,
Okay, what about the Friday the 28th?
Okay.
That's another... Oh, because that's probably still the...
That's the same weekend, that goes through
weekend.
The 29th.
Yeah, and so the Monday probably won't be good either.
What about the 25th?
Is there something on the 25th?
The 25th is the VAI-LSB meeting.
Okay.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, this is Nicole.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Okay, we have...
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, we have... Jack, Afia, Nia, AC, Dominguez, Round. I think I've got everyone.
How about the 21st, Jack?
How about
good evening.
Yeah, we're trying to set our next meeting date, and so far we're not doing too well.
The
21st? The 21st? Let's see.
What time?
Oh, no, no, no. I can't do the 21st. Well, I personally can't do the 21st. That doesn't mean that the rest of you can't. I'm sorry. I have to juggle my personal calendar and my Pacifica calendar.
What about the 17th, Monday the 17th?
Sure. We will all have had enough green beer that we should be able to get through this.
Yeah, we should be in a pretty good mood. Well, why don't we set it for the 17th, and then we'll resolve it by email. If there are any serious problems with that, we'll then have to pull by email and come up with another date. So why don't we tentatively set the next meeting for Monday 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day.
And this is Nicole. I'm not sure I can join that. This was something I had previously arranged before taking back the job, which was to go to D.C. to Take Back America conference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But depending on the time, I'll definitely try to join in for a little bit if I need it, if you guys want me to.
Great.
Okay.
I'm wondering about the time now. 9 p.m. Eastern time is awfully late for people on the East Coast. Should we go for 8 p.m. Eastern time?
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
I'll try to work with that.
Okay, great. Thank you. And so that concludes that item. And, Nicole, for your information.
Hello?
Is that Dominga?
Yeah, hi.
How did that go?
Hi, Dominga.
Oh, hey, Nicole. They were finishing up dinner. I told him what we were requesting. What I said was we were requesting him to come on and talk about his job description and the time. But what he wanted to know was if he should have something in front of him, what that should be. I said I would ask you all and then forward it to him. And I told him basically what we were looking for was, I guess, a summary. Of suggested edits?
Yeah. Okay, for Nicole's benefit, the committee had decided that for the CFO job description at 9:45, we wanted to invite Lonnie onto the call. So what we should forward to him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I've sent out was the job description dated something like, number what, but it has Nicole edits at the top.
Uh-huh.
And then also the one that says Lonnie suggested changes in red.
Okay,
right.
So send both those to him.
I thought that was probably enough for this meeting.
Okay, I'll do that now.
Great, thanks a lot, Dominguez.
Sure.
So the next item is the ED job description. And for that also we have two documents. One is the job description for ED with the Cole edits and Dominga edits to get that up.
That's your email of today, Jack, at 2:31 p.m.?
Sounds right. Let me see.
Okay.
Title should say...
Nicole, do you have these copies also?
What I'm looking at right now, everybody, is the subject line is CFO and ED job description with Nicole's edits at 2108. Is that what I should be bringing up?
Yeah, that's what you
okay.
should
be. Okay. I have it. Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll be on the ED. Okay.
Okay. I just brought up the CFO, so I'll go to ED.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. So what I'm thinking is we can just go through this and touch on all the green items and try to come up with language that we're comfortable with. So the first green item I see is under definition. Is responsible for management activities of the foundation, including hiring of station managers of the five sister stations and all national staff, with the exception of the chief financial officer. So the word all, I'm guessing, not having been part of the discussion, that the significance there is that it would include the staff that are under the supervision of the CFO. Or is there some other intention here? Maybe, Nicole, you could fill us in. What were you thinking?
Well, I guess I was trying to align it to the bylaws.
Uh-huh.
While the bylaws don't say all, it's that bit of ambiguity, but it does say the executive director, you know, oversees all, not all, but Pacifica personnel, or Pacifica personnel, or Pacifica staff, something like that. So it was an alignment of that. And I do, you know, that's not to say that you go in there and then you suddenly are micromanaging all these people. I think always that any financial staff would, of course, be working under the CFO. But it's just to some uniformity to it and in that ambiguity. So that's why I put it in.
Yeah. It, maybe for everyone's benefit, I'll read the, I think is the section of the bylaws that you're referring to, from Article 9, Offices of the Foundation, Section 7, Executive Director, which I sent out also in an email. Subject to the control of the board, the ED shall have general supervision, direction, and control of the business and the officers of the foundation, and the primary responsibility for implementing the directives, decisions, and policies of the foundation and the board pertaining to administration, personnel, programming, financing, and public relations. The executive director shall generally promote, coordinate, and supervise the mission of the foundation and shall have such powers and perform such duties as may be delegated or assigned to him or her by the board. So, does anyone have any comments on adding the word all to all hiring of station managers of five sister stations and all national staff?
I would take exception to all. I think that Article 9, Section 9, referring to the chief financial officer, provides for him to supervise and cause to be kept and maintain adequate and correct books and records, and that provides for supervision of the folk who would be doing that.
Okay, we have an objection. Anybody want to speak in favor of all?
Oh, let me ask the question, if I may. Are we trying to decide on this? Are we hearing the ED's overall view of this thing? I mean, I thought that we were going to get a summary report from both the ED and the CFO. And then I guess we would have some time to discuss this afterward.
That is what we said we were going to do.
Yeah, you seem to be proceeding with an approval.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Then I've taken us off onto a different path than we agreed to. Well, I apologize for that. It's just a misunderstanding. Well, in that case, now are we expecting on the ED job description draft to have a summary from Nicole and then from Lonnie also, because he has indicated, you know, an interest in weighing in via the changes that he suggested?
I would think that would be the only way to really, for us to have a complete discussion, is to hear the pros and cons and then discuss it and make a decision.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. He's been informed that we'd be interested in having him come on at 9:45 Eastern Time. It sort of creates a situation where, since he's not on at the time, Nicole would be making comments, and then he wouldn't be deriving the benefit of those comments.
I had asked Lonnie. My understanding was that we were going to ask Lonnie to speak only to his position, so that's what I imparted to him.
Right,
yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Well, okay, but now people are saying we agreed to have a summary from both parties on the ED job.
On their position. No, on their respective positions.
Oh, on their respective job descriptions.
Yes.
On their respective positions.
All right. I'm sorry for the confusion. Okay. Nicole, would you be prepared to give a summary of your view of the job description? No.
You mean, good, you're not asking for a written summary, are you?
No, I don't think so.
There's no way I can do that right now, you guys. I'm in the middle of this enormous staff meeting. And I mean no disrespect by that, please. It's just that to bang something out would be really difficult right now. Sure. I mean, in what sense would you like me to summarize it? I tried to vet this job description, and I think that I actually think that the summary that Dominga did, just her scribe, if you will, of the conversations that we had with the previous personnel committee, is a pretty good summation of it. So some of the things, I mean, I guess as a summary, I think if we just want to go through the green portions of it, that would probably be easier for me to do a summary about if we just want to go through that as to what my rationale was around that.
That's what I was going to suggest, Chair.
Yeah.
I was going to suggest that because it's hard for her to do that now. So, like, for the green ones, maybe you should read the green ones and then she could give her rationale and we just keep going through the document.
Okay. Well, that'll be fine. That's sort of the
okay.
Way
so we can, I mean, my rationale behind all is just to, my interpretation of the bylaws is to align that and also to, you know, not to further, I guess, balkanize staff in a way. Just one of the things that we've been talking about since yesterday are the different, how we really have to unify a lot of areas. And that we're behaving just a little too balkanized, and that breaks down communication a lot of the time. And it also sometimes allows people to do end runs around both managers, whether it's the CFO or ED, you know, if they think there's that kind of split and that they can then do end runs around each one. So that takes care of that one word all. If you scroll down to this next paragraph, I put in there comprehensive news on all matters affecting diverse communities. I take the out. Only because to me, the community is not monolithic. And I think that if we put in there that these are pluralities, you see the note there, plural community to show representation of all groups. You know, I don't know if we have to be that specific, but to me, I felt that was important. Again, it's not for me. I'm trying for my operating focus on this, everybody, is that this is a job description for anybody who's coming in, not me in particular. I mean, that's where I tried to step back and say, you know, I'm trying to help write a job description that is useful for the foundation, no matter who is in that chair. Okay, so let's scroll down. Does anybody have any questions about diverse, affecting diverse communities?
No.
Okay, we can scroll down to responsibilities and duties, and you see number B, and that is appointing and facilitating the work of a national election supervisor in each year when elections for delegates are held. And then I added, with the election committee of the board and with support from the general counsel of the foundation. My real feeling is that little note there, which was part of the summary of my discussion about that, which is, you know, maybe the best way that we can execute these elections, which have not been easy to execute, should be an outside third-party agency to run the elections. However, if that's not the route we want to go, at the very least, I think because the elections get so politicized, and again, you're talking about people that will be eventually evaluating the ED, so you can't help but put the ED in a politicized situation, that helps to diffuse the politicalization and help the ED remain impartial, because I really believe that it's absolutely critical the ED be impartial what is not very impartial elections. I mean, we run slates, we have constituents, et cetera. So if anybody needs to be impartial, of course, it's the ED, but it's very difficult if it's just one person. So that's why I said, you know, I think it's more of a committee with the election committee of the board and with support from the general counsel of the foundation. That's my rationale behind that.
Nicole, I'm confused. This is under responsibilities and duties?
This is under general administration, right.
Number D?
B.
B. Oh,
B.
Here we go.
Like
B.
Boy.
Okay, there it is. Okay, and so you add with the election committee?
Of the board and with support from the general counsel of the foundation. That was my addition.
Oh, yeah, I don't have that on mine. Does everybody have that?
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have it, Jack.
I'm looking at the wrong thing.
The one you sent at 2:31 today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
How does that compare with what was there before you made the change?
I think it was just appointing and facilitating the work of a national election supervisor in each year when elections for delegates are held.
Right.
There.
That's all that was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember, I was looking at it. It wasn't showing up. Okay, I've got it now. Strange. Election committee before. Okay.
Got it, Jack.
Yeah, I've got it now. Okay, sorry for that. Okay. Everybody's happy. Nicole, you want to go on to the next one?
Right. Okay, so now we're at C, which is selecting general managers for each sister station upon vacancies from candidates presented by the local board. Now, I didn't change the language there, but I think this is one of those material issues where we are having a very difficult time adhering to the regulatory agencies that we must report to. That we are having a difficult time keeping a level playing field for our candidates, which is something that I feel. I mean, I am very passionate about this. I try to believe in impartiality and giving everybody in the hiring process a level playing field. That's why we have EEO requirements. That's why we've struggled all these years to have, you know, a level playing field for hiring. So this definitely is where the bylaws meet with material issues and also where we can't follow the regulations of the industry that require us to document hiring processes and procedures. FCC requires this, CPB requires this. Those are the two main regulatory agencies that require it. And then on top of that, you have your own EEO standards. Not to mention federal and state EEO standards that you want to comply with. So this is just one of those things where I think the bylaws meet up with a material issue that causes vulnerabilities for the organization. And in many ways, it ends up being rather unfair to the candidates because it becomes so highly politicized, these hiring processes. We're seeing that at K. We've seen it at A. You know, I commend WBAI on getting in a great general manager. I've just met Anthony for the first time. He's excellent. Got a tough job, but he's excellent. And so, you know, that hiring process went pretty well. You know, congratulations to WBAI. But it's not going that good at the other places, and it really does, I think, expose the foundation to vulnerabilities. Again, I have not come up with language that remedies that because it is so much a part of the bylaws. And maybe we're misreading the bylaws with regards to how the LSBs have actually implemented this. And that's where, you know, Dominga has been very much an anchor in this, and we will rely on her heavily in the future because she's got that HRI to be able to make sure that, that we're not putting ourselves at risk for more lawsuits, for discrimination. We're not giving our candidates a level playing field.
Could you give an example of that?
In what way?
You repeatedly said that the process that's in place at this point doesn't afford a level playing field, and
okay.
That doesn't mean anything to me. If you would give just a brief example.
I'll just remind the committee that this is an open meeting. We are being web-streamed and archived, so anything that relates to a specific personnel matter or anything that would be a breach of confidentiality, we should avoid. So maybe you could respond either in general terms or in some way that you're confident is safe, Nicole.
Ooh, I'm glad you let me know that because I was about to get very specific. let's see. So, for example, even how we put out the job announcement. Normally, for example, with the FCC, for any full-time job that comes up, this is not part-time, this is full-time, you have to document what your outreach is to garner diverse candidates, okay, for EEO outreach. And you have to document this on paper, and then you fill out forms at the end of the year, and these are uploaded to your website because each station has to do an annual or biannual EEO report. This is a requirement from the FCC. So, for example, there are industry outlets that, of course, for all the different journalism associations, I mean, just throughout, you can imagine, where you can very much do great outreach to get as diverse a pool as possible with the skill sets that you need. However, sometimes what has happened within the LSB process is instead, rather than going to, like, the industry standards or the industry organizations or posting it, it goes even further than that, or maybe just goes to political organizations, okay, rather than, like, broadcast organizations who might represent all kinds of communities. So that's one example. And then you have a very difficult time being able to grab that documentation when it's being done at the LSB level, because, again, this isn't people's full-time jobs. They're volunteering. They're coming in, you know, in the evening. It's hard to get everybody's schedule together. So then we lose that control again of being able to at least keep the documentation in order. So then you go to the process of the beginning of the vetting. And while certainly we can put out there the framework of, you know, these are the needs we need for a general manager, these are the skill sets, this is the knowledge base, this is the expertise, then oftentimes because the LSBs are political or politicized, if you will, a candidate that may not have that expertise or whatever is then pushed forward because a certain constituency or a certain slate or whatever feels they want that candidate. Then on top of that, you sometimes have, you know, this lack of confidentiality, which we have had material issues on, the actualities have happened, where the candidate's confidentiality is completely breached by the LSB through the hiring process. Luckily, most of the candidates, I guess, while they have, some have been hurt by that, luckily none of them have taken action on that. But hiring is a confidential process. And that's one thing we need to be able to guarantee to our applicants is some kind of confidentiality, because that's the law. That is the law, and they're entitled to that. That's one issue as well. Then we come to the way the votes go down. And, you know, we had an issue where it's supposed to be a pool of candidates, and suddenly we don't get a pool. We only get one. And that's because of the way certain voting processes happen during this procedure. And then we're back to square one. So I'm not saying remove that process necessarily from the LSB. I didn't write language about this, but I think what we should look at, or I hope what we can look at, with regard to the bylaws and this particular process, is maybe what happens is the national office takes on the posting of the job description, making sure that it goes to the proper groups that then do EEO outreach that we can then document. And we're holding all that documentation, such as, you know, our HR director will be keeping that documentation so we don't have to either chase it down or reinvent the wheel when it comes time to make these reports to the different agencies on our hiring process. Then, you know, my hope would be, for example, something I could imagine, because this is the way when I was originally hired 10 years ago at KPFA, this was kind of the way it was, although at that time I was recruited by the ED, but I went through the whole process, applied, you know, gave my resumes, gave references, which is the normal hiring process. And then a committee was put together. At the time, they called it the local advisory boards, and a committee was put together at KPFA of local advisory board members and staff and the executive director. And I met, had an interview. I met again and had an interview with more local advisory board members. And I don't know exactly what the process was after that because I wasn't part of it, but I believe that the time I would imagine the executive director took comments from those that had been in part of the interview process. Maybe it was whittled down to the top two or something like that. And then ultimately the ED made the decision. Kept it clean, kept it participatory, kept it still with community input and local advisory board input. But it safeguarded the organization, and it also made sure that they could do these EEO reports in a timely fashion, and that the hiring actually happened in a timely fashion.
Jack, if I could just interrupt you for a moment. I had put together some wording that I thought might address this concern of yours. Selecting general managers reaches sister station upon vacancies from candidates presented by the local station boards. And then I would add, in conformity with the bylaws, foundation policy, and in compliance with EEO and all federal and state reporting requirements such as CPB, FCC, et cetera. With something like that, I don't really want to open the wording up for discussion during the summary, but would something like that then give the executive director the authority to say, I have the responsibility in my job description to ensure that EEO requirements are met and all reporting requirements are met according to the bylaws and in conformity with the bylaws and whatever policies the foundation sets? Would that give the executive director a little more of a handle on the situation where the local station boards are really pretty free to do anything as long as they're presenting a pool?
I'm just the most interested in us being able to close some of these vulnerabilities.
Okay.
And whatever we can get to with consent with the PNB that they feel will be palatable for the LSBs, but at the same time safeguards are, you know, so that we're not so vulnerable. And I really have to feel, as somebody who's gone through lots of hiring processes, okay, because that's just what I've done, I have a great sympathy for candidates. It's hard enough to be told no. It's even harder to read about you didn't get it because you didn't have the right politics in the newspaper. And that's what's going on sometimes around these general manager hires. So for me, as somebody, you know, who doesn't usually stay with a job for life, I have great sympathy for candidates out there, you know, whether they're elders or young people or of color or not or, you know, with disability, whatever, that they have some kind of respect and that they're not going to be able to be used as some kind of political football. So I'm trying to argue this on behalf of candidates as well, that there's some kind of process that ensures either confidentiality and some kind of level playing field so that they don't read about why they didn't get a newspaper, you know, because they just weren't politically righteous enough.
Yeah.
AC, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I do. I understand what Nicole is saying. I think that I've sat through three of these things at PFW. We did follow the rules as it was set down by the National. But I do think that there's another addition that needs to be added because there was some abuse, even on the national level, of the process. But I would think that and hope that in your case that you may direct the legal counsel and the HR person to examine the FCC and the CPB rules and get those rules and, you know, and put them in some sort of order so that the LSB can follow that. Because we pretty much followed the rules that was handed to us, although we didn't, we were unaware of all of the rules, the federal rules as well as the other ones in some cases, but we were instructed from the national when we were out of line. But there has been some abuse on the national level because sometimes people want who they want and they don't care about the pool, you know, and that presented a problem for us. And I would just suggest that you add those, that you direct those persons to find out what the FCC and the CPB's standards are as a part of the evaluation process.
Okay.
Well, I think Amiga can speak a little bit to this as well because she's been in some pretty hair-raising situations.
Actually,
and we've had a real boondoggle at KPFA. And to tell you the truth, one of the candidates was really shocked, and he wrote a letter, and he said, I never, ever would have applied for this job had I known I would have been used like this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, he was humiliated. And that's just so wrong.
I think the topic, to be honest, is something that we should probably discuss later, and it's part of what Jack was trying to put on the agenda for another meeting. Maybe we should go through the summary before Lonnie's time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that it's already 9:55 Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to dawdle on trying to extend time for this item. I think we need to get through it, so let's maybe just go ahead. There's quite a ways to go here.
Okay, let's go down to E. I did not add those in green. I actually took them out. So those were all there before, and I took them all out, and all I put was hiring, coordinating, supervised national staff, period. I think it's really wrong to cement titles in there in an industry that changes titles a lot according to needs and expertise. And I've never seen a job description, that, especially for, like, an executive director, that actually, like, names these, like, that cements these titles in a job description. So I would just put, I don't know why that was put in green. I had actually taken that out. So I think originally what I had done was put a line through all those.
I have strike through on it, yeah.
Right. I had put a strike through on all those, and it just put a period after national staff.
Okay.
Good.
The blue is not my addition. Okay. And then I put on F, partner with human resources. Actually, did I put that, or was that your suggestion, Domingo?
I think we agreed on it. I think
partner with human resources.
We had put annual evaluations, and then through one of the discussions you had mentioned, you know, you'd feel better about it if HR was mentioned in there. So
that I think that's really important. It's just important. I'm going to, you know, how do you we've been doing counts at this as we were talking about finances at this meeting here in Houston about, you know, well, how many staff is at each station, you know, ballpark, because nobody has an exact head count. And, You know, there's a lot everywhere. I mean, there's 13 full-time just in the national office. So that's a lot of evaluations to do, especially if you want them done on an annual basis. So I really think that partnering with HR would be critical.
Okay.
So that's that. I think the next green, any questions about that? I don't mean to rush forward, but. Okay, so the next green would be under human resources. I added participate in union collective bargaining agreement negotiations, partner with human resources to respond to union requests.
Can I just ask, Nicole, is that because the GMs would be doing that or otherwise? Or?
I don't think the GMs are in. I mean, they sit at the table. And actually, when I was at KPFA, I finished the collective bargaining agreement with CWA. When I was GM, I kind of came in the middle of that. But I think what happens, I'm not really sure because I haven't been back since then, but I think I think you get your lawyer there, you get your CFO there, you get your ED there, and then you get a GM, and maybe there's other reps from the stations. I'm not sure. But that's who I think usually sits at the collective bargaining table. Okay, fast forward to under programming. Okay, D was not my addition. I believe that was from the former chair of the board, correct?
It came from, I think the digital distribution wasn't originally part of the EG job description. It was added to the posting for that you responded to, and so then that language had to be added to the job description.
Yeah, and I don't know about E. I don't remember actually adding that. That seems to be in green as well.
Looks like there's a strike through.
I struck through it. So I don't know why that's not struck through on this.
And that question was originally mine. This is the, fourth draft of this.
Yeah, I would take that out. I'd take out that whole thing.
Yeah.
Even
which one, D, you say?
E.
What?
E. And originally, AC, I had done a strike through on that. That green is not my wording. So I had just done a strike through. I don't think in the job descriptions you've got to get down to that micro level. I think that's just an obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So then fast forward to under legal, number 7. Before, what was there was just manage litigation and other legal matters. Guys, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether you want your ED to be a lawyer. Maybe they should be. But I put there, under the direction of the foundation's general counsel and other attorneys as needed, manage litigation and other legal matters.
That may have been from when we didn't have a general counsel. I'm just guessing. I don't know. That we didn't have something that it would just fall to the ED, just as if in the absence of an HR director, I believe that role falls to the ED, because someone has to be held accountable, ultimately, for the foundation. I don't know. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm not offering any sort of objection. I think your addition makes very good sense.
Well, right. We have a general counsel. That makes perfect sense. It seems to me that we got into a little bit of trouble before when there wasn't a stable general counsel, that each station would, you know, with all the litigation that's swirling about, and, you know, we do have a lot, that I know one station, you know, kind of hired a high-end lawyer, and then before you know it, they have all these bills, and, you know, it just went on for years, and there was a lot of money, you know, put out over one of these litigation cases. So, you know, I know that there's a lot of lawyers on the board. We're fortunate right now, so maybe they could just do pro bono work. But I think for the long term, we'll always have a general counsel, I'm hoping. And that, you know, under the direction of the foundation's general counsel, manage the litigation.
Good idea.
Then on number 8, on UCC, I added that. I think this is really important that we have an alignment in our communications and our branding and everything else. And there's a, we've talked about that today at the staff meeting. There's a lot of consensus on that. People are really eager to do something like that. And people are eager for some communication protocol, and eager for some rebranding. And we all admitted, you know, okay, so, yeah, branding's a little corporate, but branding it is. And, you know, there's a feeling of excitement about that, actually. So I really believe that, and AC, I think you recall, do you remember during the gala? And,
yeah.
And there were the two press releases that went out. And
oh,
I sent out that email. It's like, well, what are these two different press releases? They're both two different things. And it was actually you that wrote me back and said, you're absolutely correct, and we need a communication protocol on that.
Yes.
So this is in essence saying, guys, you know, you just can't put Pacifica out there however you want to. We need to bring it in a little bit. You know, boom, there's some oversight in the imprimatur, in the branding, and all of that. So that's what C was about. Go down to experience and education. I didn't put in master's degree, but I do think you need to, I mean, that's fine. I don't care if you put that in or not. But it, I think you at least have to say what type of master's degree, unless you don't want to, unless it doesn't matter, you know, any master's degree will do. But, for example, you know, there's a master's in journalism, there's a master's in communication, but there's not a master's in broadcasting. You can only get a BA. I have a BA in broadcasting, but I couldn't get a master's or a PhD. If I wanted to go any further, I'd have to pick either communications or journalism or one of those. So I just think if you're going to put master's in there, you might think about adding some specific to it. In that paragraph, I also upped it. To 5 years, preferably, as a general manager, before I think it was just two. And also, I think it's really absolutely critical that they have had experience in running a major market station, because our five stations are in the top six major markets in this country, and it's a real different situation. I've done small markets, I've done real rural markets, and I've done major markets, and it's a very different animal. And especially our big stations, you know, with these big signals, just found out KPFT is now up to 104,000 watts in Texas, which is pretty flat, so it might go a really long way. Our five stations are in the top six major markets. That's why I added that in there. And I think that that's important, too. If for nothing else, because it's a different demographic in these markets, these are markets with a really rapidly changing demographic, and that's very different than some of the smaller markets in the country.
Can I just ask an arithmetical question? How can five stations be six markets? I'm sure there's an easy answer.
Because San Francisco goes between fifth and sixth. San Francisco, which is called the Bay Area, which is our Berkeley station, right? Sometimes that's been the fifth largest market, and sometimes it flops down to the sixth.
Okay, great. Thanks.
That's why I said that. okay, under skills and ability, I added demonstrated, because I think you can always say you've got it, but it's important to be able to demonstrate it. And I guess Lonnie added in all facets of electronic broadcasting, which I think is perfectly good. I added including journalism and news.
I have all facets as a strike through.
Uh-huh.
You mean to strike all facets of, or?
I don't really care one way or another. I don't have I don't have a feeling about that. Either way, I'm not, you know, attached to it at all. I just think that we need to put in there demonstrated. I also think we need to put in there, you know, electronic broadcasting. And that also there's got to be some experience with journalism and news. Because our stations and our affiliates do a lot of, you know, public affairs and news programming. And we hope our websites are going to do. So I think that's important. Continue scrolling. We have number six, which was my addition, demonstrated ability to work in a complex organization with high expectations of transparency. Kind of self-evident, right? I don't think that needs any explanation. And then I just added, you know, number 10, excellent sitting in non-commercial media, desirable. You know, again, I'm not attached or wedded to much of this. So, you know, I mean, I am, but I'm, you know, that's a toss away if you want to. I just think, again, it is a specific industry, small as it is. Non-commercial broadcasting is an industry, and I think it helps Pacifica's profile as well. And it also helps, I mean, I was talking to Anthony, he's like, oh, my God, the, you know, the acronyms are nuts, CPB, da-da-da-da, FCC, I don't know what it all, and I'm like, don't worry, you know, I'm going to, you know, walk you through all that, et cetera. And that's not to say everybody has a learning curve no matter what job they come in on. Even if it's one they've usually done, that her flattens. But it does, I think, I don't know, I just think it would help a lot in the kind of person that you might bring on. So that's it.
Okay. Do you have any comments from the committee?
That was good.
Okay. Thanks, Nia. Anyone else?
I didn't see any major areas. I think it was an excellent review.
Well, good in terms of how, you know, Nicole presented what she would like to see added to it or subtracted. That was an excellent.
Very clear.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Thank you.
Very
Thank
clear
you.
What your intention was. Thank you very much, Nicole.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys.
Should we move on? We only have about 20 minutes left. Should we address the CFO job description, or what do people want us to?
I think we should get him on for whatever we can.
Okay. Let me get off the line again and call him.
Okay.
Or I'm actually,
should I sign off, you guys, or I should sign off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a question.
Okay.
Before Nicole gets off. And before Lonnie gets on, there was some language that Nicole added to the CFO job description.
Mm-hmm.
Are we gonna take her through that also, or not?
I think we should, since while we have her.